Safeway CEO Steve Bird recently sold about $20 million worth of company stock. Then he forced me and 70,000 workers onto the streets in a fight to save our family's health care. We're out of work. Shoppers have been inconvenienced. Safeway stock prices have taken a nosedive, but Steve Bird is looking out for himself. It's time to turn the tables. I'm Kathy Schaefer, a 28-year Safeway Bonds employee. Let's send Steve Bird a message. Don't shop Safeway when you see picket lines. A message from the working men and women of the UFCW.
Good evening and welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
They fight for health care and wages and a way of life that giant supermarkets threaten to take back.
70,000 grocery workers are on strike in Southern California. They are on the front lines in a battle to prevent middle-class service jobs from turning into poverty-level ones.
The strikers are fighting not only for themselves, but ultimately all workers who face corporate demands to cut and gut benefits. Now we'll hear from Tracy Richardson, produce order clerk and shop steward at Safeway, and Matthew Hart, food clerk, cashier, and also shop steward on strike. Tracy, tell us about your experience and what you have been going through. What does the strike mean to you?
Well, the strike means to me basically a fight for everything I've worked for 12 years. I, you know, sought out working in a grocery store because they offered good benefits and a pension. God knows if Social Security will be there when I'm retirement age, and if it is, you know, how much will it be? So trying to be, you know, responsible and doing something for myself so I don't have to rely on taxpayers, I chose the job which offered these benefits, and now I feel like the rug has been pulled from underneath me. You know, the knife in the back kind of. Worked hard and did everything they asked, and now they show us that we're not worth much.
How long have you been working there?
12 years.
And how did you find that job to begin with? And what did it mean for you to find that job?
Well, I recently got out of the Navy, came up from San Diego to Los Angeles and was trying to find work, and it was very, very hard. It took me about a month to find a job, and I found a job at West Hollywood Pavilions, and basically I just kept bothering them until they gave me the job. And I started as a courtesy clerk, which is a bagger, at $6.75 an hour. And it meant everything to me because, like I said, I'd been out of work for about a month. You know, I needed a job bad, and I was happy because they offered such wonderful benefits and a chance to get a pension.
By the way, I'm a little confused. If you just got out of the Navy, I mean, there's all these thoughts that somebody who gets out of the armed service must go straight into some extremely important high-tech jobs, et cetera. How is it that you were unemployed even after you got out of the Navy? I can't help but ask.
Well, I originally went in and I chose the welding field because I'm good with my hands and I don't want to be stuck in an office and file and stuff like that. So they trained me as a welder, got out of welding school, and they sent me to San Diego and trained me as a military police officer. So having really no interest in the police field, you know, I respect the policemen and their work, but that's not for me. So when I got out, I was basically qualified to be a, you know, supermarket parking lot security guard or a mall security guard. And that's not what I wanted to do. So I was left with trying to find a new niche.
And this job, suddenly you'd been out of work for a month, you get the job, sounds like the wage wasn't terrible, and what about health benefits?
Well, once I passed my probation, which was 90 days, I was entitled to the indemnity plan, which was I paid 20% and the company would pay 80, but after a year's service, I could switch over and now get a PPO or HMO, which I chose Kaiser. So now I had very good benefits and dental work. I could get pay 20% and they would pay 80, and I'd get 125. Well, at that time it was $100 a year for vision. So So, so somebody that was coming from unemployed to a nice, it wasn't great paying considering rent, but if you hustle, you could get the hours, and the health coverage was what I wanted, you know, the health care and the opportunity to learn to earn a pension was what I wanted.
Matthew, what exactly is the proposals of management with regard to health benefits? I mean, it's a little bit more complex than is normally understood.
Right. Well, one of the things that the employers are saying in regards to health care is they want to have us pay $5 to $15 a week, and they're claiming that this is and that the employees need to share a reasonable portion of the health care. And this just simply isn't true. The employers want to increase co-payments, institute deductibles in place, caps on payments for prescriptions and surgeries, which will ultimately amount to 50% of our medical benefits and would shift over $1 billion of health care costs onto the workers. The amount, I mean, some of the caps that they want to put are just simply ridiculous. They, like, for example, they want to put, in regards to chemotherapy, they want to put a cap on 3 treatments. So if you have, if you've found that you have cancer and you need to go through chemotherapy, 3 treatments just isn't going to cut it. And the rest after 3, basically you're going to be shifted on, all the costs are going to be shifted onto you. An average employee at a grocery store makes about $19,000 a year. And with all the caps and deductibles that they want, that they basically want you to pay for, if you have any major sort of surgery, you're looking at living in poverty wages, because you're going to end up, not only are you going to be losing hours for having to go through any sort of, you know, recovering from any sort of major illness, but then you're going to have all those health care costs shifted onto you. And we just think that with the, I mean, the reality is 70% of the workers are part-time employees and only make about $12 an hour. So once again, we only make $19,000 a year, which isn't a lot of money. And now they want to shift that burden, over $1 billion of health care costs, onto us. So, I mean, that's with the health care, I mean, that's really the gist of it. And it's estimated that their 5 to 15 isn't reality. By the end of the 3-year contract, we'll be paying up to $95 a week for our health care costs.
Isn't there something also about the unionizing certain stores?
Yeah, well, and actually that's one of the things that they're screaming a lot about Walmart. And even with the estimated amount of stores going in, or Walmart's coming into California, they'll only take 1% of the market share. Presently, right now, the companies, all 3 companies, take up 60% of the market share in California. With those areas that these stores have chosen to go into, they've taken up 60% or 90% of those market shares. They are now proposing to bring, they now have a proposal on the table that if there's any location where they have less than 25% of the market share, they want to open up non-union facilities. The areas that these grocery stores have predominantly not gone into have been communities of color and poor communities. So they basically want to open up. They're paying, I mean, basically what this is going to is now they want to open up non-union facilities with low wages and no benefits in areas that are predominantly communities of color and impoverished communities. So they're basically wanting to further those, you know, the poverty inside those communities, and basically create, they want to further that Walmart culture that that is basically threatening not only good union jobs, but our overall society.
Matthew, before we continue to speak about some of the other issues of the strike and lockout, including issues of creating a two-tier system of workers, how did you get this job, and what impact and effect has it had on your life, and how long have you been there now?
I've been working for the company. I've been working with Vons, which is owned by Safeway, for about 13 years now.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, and I got the job when I was 16 years old, and when I was 17, I moved out on my own and lived on my own with box boy wages, which was $6.75 at the time, and it was very, very difficult. Through the years, I moved up, and because of the fact that I have this good union job, that pays me enough to put a roof over my head and cover my expenses. I've also been able to go to college and have been able to successfully pay my way through school, ironically taking labor studies as a major. And the fact is that with the proposals that they have, if I, last year alone, I came down with pneumonia. If I had to pay for all that treatment in order to cure myself of pneumonia, all the, you know, hospital costs and whatnot, I wouldn't have been able to pay for college, let alone pay for probably the roof over my head. And it would have definitely, you know, could have possibly put myself out on the street if I had to cover that out of my own pocket. And that's what these companies want to do to us.
Matthew, you're right. It's interesting that you took labor studies because you're also a shop steward. How did you, and I can see why you got pneumonia. You obviously do an awful lot of work.
Right.
But how did you get into a position of becoming shop steward? What interested you about becoming a representative of workers who are fighting so hard for jobs that certainly are far better than what we know is occurring at this monster and this growing conglomerate, Walmart?
Well, I mean, when you look at union versus non-union facilities, one of the things that unions give you is dignity and respect. Not only do they give you fair wages, not only do they give you benefits, but they also give you what's most important is dignity and respect. And I realized a long time ago when I was younger, my father was a Teamster, raised me with good union values, which are the truest and only family values as far as I'm concerned.
Right on.
And, you know, it didn't take much for me to realize what unions do for you. And I realized that the reason why I had what I had with this job was because of the fact that I had a union that was there to protect. And, you know, what caused me to become a steward was that there was a boss, there was a manager inside of one of our stores that did not treat our members with respect. And a few of us stood up and fought and were successful in that battle against this manager, and taught the manager that when workers get together, we can accomplish anything. And not only did we tell him you can't do that to us, but we actually got him removed from the store completely. And it was because the union had our back, and because that we stuck together as union brothers and sisters, that we were able to accomplish that goal. And it was that very action, it was that very campaign, if you will, that caused me to step up and take the steward position.
And Tracy, did you want to say something?
I was just saying good for him. Or to the people.
Well, good for you also. And what I wanted to ask you was, you're in Northern California now. You're in San Francisco, actually.
Yeah.
And why are you there when the strike is in Southern California?
Well, showing solidarity to our fellow workers here in San Francisco, and also applying financial pressure against Mr. Byrd, as his headquarters is in Pleasanton. Plus, he's got the monopoly up here with Safeway. The customers here don't have many options as far as a all-in-one supermarket. They have mom-and-pop places spread out, but somewhere to go to get everything you need is Safeway has the monopoly for that. So we're up here, and we're doing an informational picket. And we also are getting about a 70% support here. People in San Francisco are very well educated and well read. They're willing to read what you hand them and listen to what you have to say. I love it.
Well, good. Maybe they can read one of these signs. Steve Byrd is a jive turkey.
Yeah. That'll be our new chant up here.
Exactly.
How many workers are up there in San Francisco and other parts of Northern California? You have any idea?
Approximately 200.
All right.
Yeah, we're spreading out all over.
Matthew, tell us about, in this affluent Orange County supermarket that you're picketing, do the residents there understand what's going on? Do they respect the picket line?
I'm actually picketing in Southern. It's south of Los Angeles in Orange County. It's in a place called Yorba Linda, which is the birth city of Richard Nixon himself.
Oh, what an honor.
Not really, but okay, I'll take that. Well, presently at this point, we have, even going into the sixth week, about 70% of the customers are still turning away.
Possibly, have you thought about literally a national strike? We're talking about Vaughn's, Safeway, Ralph's, and Kroger, and Albertsons. And we have Safeways up here. Any thought about bringing people out on an informational picket line up here?
Oh, there's a lot of thought to that, and I won't won't give them any heads up where we're coming, but we are coming.
That's right. They're going to be coming.
That's
You'll
right.
never know where you're
That's
going
right.
to
when
find
where,
us
but
next.
We will be there, and we will not leave until we get what we need.
Now, let me ask you how the media has been treating this. Obviously, those of us on Pacifica are greatly concerned, and this is Building Bridges, your community and labor part. So we're totally partisan to the activities of the working class and our sisters and brothers who have either been locked out or forced out on strike. How has the media in Southern California and in San Francisco been treating you?
Well, as for me, when I was in Southern California, we were a little disappointed in the beginning because, of course, the corporate has more money and they were just flooding the people with misinformation. And then as word got out from us picketers and the union, finally there was two sides represented. But when I arrived up here, I was really pleased because we got four different stations the first day. You know, we had interviews going out on the news at 7, 9, and 10. And then again the next day, they had more coverage. And it's still not, like, the number one topic, but they're still giving us coverage. So I was very pleased with it.
And also, one of the things that I think is really important to look at now is the efforts to create a two-tier system of workers where they would bring new workers in at less benefits. And Matthew, can you speak to that?
Yes. One of the things that the companies want to do is they want to establish a two-tier wage system where those individuals that are going to get hired after this contract begins, well, if I'm not mistaken, make $2.80. The most they can make is $2.80, less than what we make right now. In addition to that, the benefits plan that they are proposing these new hires will basically be nil. I mean, they basically won't have any sort of health and benefits plan whatsoever. And one of the things about two-tier wage systems, which is so threatening, is the fact that they will ultimately undermine those individuals who are presently working, and they will slowly but surely begin to squeeze the rest of us out who make better pay or who have better wages or in that higher two-tier wage system. They'll slowly but surely squeeze us out. And it's, once again, an attempt to, not only is a two-tier wage system threatening union jobs and union pay, but it's one of their plans to basically create Walmart wages. And slowly but surely, they are going to squeeze the rest of us out if this two-tier wage system comes in.
I would also like to add that for a new hire, it would take a new hire 37 months to get any benefits at all, mm-hmm. and it would take them over 7 years to attain the high wage of $14.90 an hour.
Yeah, but you folks are very self-involved. I mean, Safeway, Ralphs, and sorry about that, and Albertsons are Fortune 500 companies, but their profits have only gone up 91% since 1998, so how could they possibly afford the rising costs and the premiums on health insurance?
My profit went up 91%.
Well, that's the thing is, over the past 10 years, the company's profits have risen 10 times faster than the employer's contribution for workers' health care benefits. So, I mean, they aren't hurting in any way, shape, or form. And they're using Walmart in order to basically exploit their workers more. You know, they want to use Walmart in order to decrease their labor costs to increase their profit margin. And it's just corporate greed. That's what it comes down to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's corporate greed over human need.
Matthew, wherever we look, we see strikes and we see employer demands for givebacks, and a lot of the times that has to do with health care. What do you think the significance of this massive strike, this growing strike, is in a national sense for workers outside of the UFCW?
Well, I think one of the things it's going to do is it's going to make the issue of health care become a national issue. And we live in a society where, as you know, there are three options for health care. We can either let the state pay for it, we can let the companies pay for it, or the employees pay for it. Right now in our society, we have chosen to allow the corporate sector to pay for our health and benefits, and that's the way it's been for as long as it's been discussed. And now I think that people are beginning to see that that isn't working. Corporations no longer want to pay for health care, and now they're beginning to try and shift that onto the people who can least afford it, which are the workers. The state can afford it. The corporations can afford it. But yet the people who can't are the ones they want to shift that onto. And I think that this strike, as well as the other strikes that are spreading slowly but surely across, you know, across the United States, one of the things it's going to do, it's going to force this issue to national discussion and will force, and I guarantee you, I know one of the things that AFL-CIO is wanting to do is to push this issue into the national election. With the presidential elections, they're trying to make this an issue and have them come up with a viable plan that will not hurt the American workers. And that's basically what these companies are wanting to do, and there's a reason why we're resisting. We're drawing a line right here and right now saying the employees can't afford this health care system. And this health care system, the way it's designed, is it's designed in and of itself to have profits over people. And now these other corporations are wanting to do the same. And enough is enough. We've got to take a stand. And in every great movement in our society, there's always been at one point where people have said enough, and I think that this is it.
Not just affecting us as grocery workers, but if this plan goes through, it's going to affect every taxpayer. And I just want to give a shout-out to any politician that's listening that we are 70,000 voters right here. You know, we have the right to vote. So do what you will.
Well, Tracy Richardson and Matthew Hart, the 70,000 sisters and brothers that are out there may indeed be joined by people in sympathy across this country to make sure there's no wage freeze, to make sure that there is no two-tier system implemented, and that workers don't have to contribute more to their health care premiums. After all, they create the wealth, and they should benefit from the hard work that they do. We'd like to thank you both for being with us. Sure.
We didn't mention that this is going to affect the retirees also, that their medical is going to be taken away from them. They worked all their life to get what they got, and now it's going to be taken away.
Well, that's a critical issue, and given the fact that you've worked 12 and 13 years, you and Matthew respectively, we understand what it means for people to have been there for
35 years,
and to suddenly have things taken back. Well, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to continue to be with you, we're going to come back and announce the success of the campaign and the stalwart action of the workers. This has been Tracy.
Thank you.
Richardson and Matthew Hart, and thank you both.
Thank you.
And we're going to hear from David Robex about minimum wage jobs.
One morning, there was a feeling in the air. Everything was quiet. Things were different everywhere. The Wobblies were back again with Joe Hill at the mic. When all the minimum wage workers went on strike, there was no one flipping burgers. All the grills were cold. Onion rings were in their bags. Fries were growing mold. There were no baristas at Starbucks asking how many shots would you like. When all the minimum wage workers went on strike. There was no one pumping gasoline, no one driving from town to town. No one at the register, all the highways were shut down. Cars were stuck in the garage, CEOs on bikes. When all the minimum wage workers went on strike, the fruit was falling off the trees. No one to load the trucks.
It's me and my mom at home now. We do great on our own, but we need to be able to go to the doctor or buy medicine when we're sick. My mom's company, Safeway, makes money year after year, but I guess it's not enough. Now they want to take away my health care. My name is James, and Safeway forced my mom to strike. Please help us keep health care. Don't shop at Safeway while we're on strike.
A message from the working men and women of the USCW. We're holding the line for health care for all working families.
And this is Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
yuppie parents were housebound. Their nannies left the job. Walmart workers said enough of our labor has been robbed. The Foot Locker was locked up. The boss had to take a hike. When all the minimum wage workers went on strike. When I awoke one morning, there was a feeling in the air. Everything was quiet. Things were different everywhere. The Wobblies were back again with T-Bone at the mic. When all the minimum wage workers went on strike. When all the minimum wage workers went on strike.